make of the Chase and Sanborn coffee the superb blend you know is fresh. Present the Chase and Sanborn Hour and your host, Don Meachie.
Jason Sanborn gang, and greeting you for all of them. A hearty hello from Nelson Eddy, Dawes Littlemore, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy, Robert R. Brewster, and
we
Judy Canova with Annie and
Zeke.
We hope that you'll enjoy our show and that throughout the week you'll remain our friends as well as friends of Jason Sanborn.
With a
greater than man.
Hello, Judy. Is there anything I can do for you?
Yes,
now, you know, Mr.
Meachie,
I've been looking at that little
McCarthy
fella
for
4 weeks
now, and I've been
talking
about their various concerns.
Yeah, well, don't try it, Judy. We all have the same trouble.
It sure is mystifying how them words comes bouncing across his wooden tonsils, ain't it?
It sure is.
Yeah, and you know I keep thinking of what folks down in Unadilla would do if they seed him.
Would they be amazed, Judy?
Amazed?
To and fro
Listen, Mr.
Meachie,
did you ever see a tree
serene
walking?
In the assurance of their dominion over this small,
like as not they
spinning
hang a
fragment of solar drift.
Hey, 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 what's going on here?
Oh, well, Charlie, and Judy only meant
to... Yeah, I heard what she said, I heard.
Oh, shucks, Charlie. I was only
yet
complimenting
across an immense
you.
Ethereal
why, you
gulf.
Ain't got nothing against me, have you?
Minds that are
no,
to our
but
minds.
I can very easily develop
ours
something.
Oh,
well, now,
jungle.
Listen, you're now that's too bad, Charles M. You
vast,
see,
cool
I was hoping that I and you could start to
regarded
kind of get together
with envious
like,
eyes.
You know, I started to like
slowly and surely
you
through
know,
their plans
I
against
sure
us.
Do.
Bergen, get your gun.
The 39th year of the 20th century came the great disillusion.
Never mind, Charlie. I'm sure you'll feel better when you know that our guest
at the end of October
is one of our mutual friends, honoring us with
business
a return visit.
Better.
The lovely Madeline Carroll.
War scare was over.
Oh, Madeline.
Four men were back at work.
Thanks, Charlie, but we'll let Nelson Eddy do the singing. And it's the rousing, rip-roaring Song of the Vagabonds from the Vagabond King.
Across the world, estimated 32 million people listening live on radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, a slight atmospheric disturbance on the bus of 7 hours
ago
reported by the local
station. You beggar of Paris town, you lazy rabble of floor degree. You rabble of floor degree.
Fair
King Louis to keep his crown and favor city for Burgundy.
This is what comes to you from the take you out of the Meridian Room, the Hotel Park Plaza in downtown New York, where you will be entertained by the music of Raymond Rochello and his orchestra.
We can die for liberty.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
From the
Shaman
Hotel, will you cheer tomorrow for the crown of Burgundy? Sons of France around us break the chain that bound us, and away with Burgundy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program from time to time to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio Theater. 20 minutes before 8 Central Time, the Special Crown Open, Mount Jackson Observatory, Chicago, Illinois, records the flying travel explosion of incident and death occurring at regular intervals on the planet Mars. The spectroscope indicates the gas to be hydrogen and moving toward the Earth at an orbit of light. Professor Pearson of the Observatory of Princeton confirms Farrell's observation and describes the phenomenon as, quote, like a jet of two flames shot from a gun, unquote. Now we're journeying to the music of Raymond Rochello, playing for you in the Meridian Room of the Park Plaza Hotel, situated in downtown New York.
Song of a rough and ready man of Canada, a big, brawny French-Canadian organ, the kind of fellow who skips nimbly from log to log as they float downstream to the mill. Sure-footedly, he prevents the dreaded jam, and yet he always seems to find time to wave at the girls on the shore. Nelson Eddy sings the Canadian logging song.
There's a rock, watch out, there you may be got the big sheep wreck there. The sun is shining on the shore. We see big salmon jump some more, some more. Down the rapids we hear them roar. Now they flag it on the shore. Hola!
Ladies and gentlemen,
the logs they make stampede like herds of cows and on to lead. When logging full, we have to leave to coax them out from log
shanty.
A log jam is so hard to cross with a crowd of freaky women forced to dream of events. We get the view of petite to feel they be at home. We wave and they smile. We know. All right, we see them again at the dance tonight. Hola, hola. Those black eyes, we promise to be cool. We dance the whole night through. Down the rivers, we float along. She make it around the boat. On the log, we leap and laugh. We're safe upon the logs, as on the raft.
We are ready now to take you to the Princeton Observatory at Princeton, where Carl Phillips, our commentator, will interview Professor Richard Pearson, famous astronomer. We take you now to Princeton, New Jersey.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Carl Phillips speaking to you from the Observatory at Princeton. Standing in a large, semicircular room, pitch black except for an oblong split in the ceiling. Through this opening, I can see a
haunting we will go. A haunting we will go.
Vibration of
the hey, Charlie, the word is haunting.
Dr. Pearson stands directly above me on a small platform, peering through the
say, what are you going to do tomorrow night, Charlie?
I'll ask you to be patient, ladies and gentlemen.
Dr. Apples, I guess. What else can a fellow do on a measly 75 cents a week?
Charlie, I wish you wouldn't take advantage of every opportunity to mention the allowance I give you.
Oh.
No.
Professor,
it's embarrassing.
Yeah. I'm ashamed of it too, Bergen.
Would you please tell our radio audience
all you think of is money. Pleasure can be derived in many other ways.
Name four.
The unusual moment. Say, Edgar, aren't you going to stage a Halloween party for Charlie tomorrow night?
I certainly am not, Don. I haven't forgotten Charlie's party last year when he ruined the furniture and the carpet.
And broke windows, too.
Yes, yes.
Don't forget to broke
windows. In your opinion, what are these
four broken windows?
Five.
Yeah.
I broke one after you took inventory. Oh.
Popular conjecture
what a
those who
talk about laughs, the fun we had.
From a scientific viewpoint, the stripes are merely the result of atmospheric conditions.
I can assure you there will be no repetition of last year's riot.
Quite convinced no. That the scientist...
That experiment was much too expensive.
Know it does not exist
no
on
party
Mars.
This year?
No party.
The chances against it are 1,000 to 1.
Aren't you going to do
and
anything
yet,
for...
How do you account for these gas eruptions occurring on the surface of the planet?
On this Halloween?
I don't know.
Philip,
I cannot account. Oh, I may tell you a ghost story.
For the benefit of our listeners... How far is Mars from the Earth?
Approximately 40 million miles.
Do you think you can afford it?
Well, that seems to take
say, Edgar, I like ghost stories. You know any good ones?
Well, I know one, Don.
Hey, you don't mind if I join you, do you, Edgar? I like listening to ghost stories.
Not at all, Nelson.
Oh, Edgar, are you going to tell a ghost story?
Yeah.
I love them. They frighten me to death.
Professor Pearson has passed me a message.
You better sit
which
close to me, Dottie.
Professor,
hold
may
my
I
hand.
Read the message to the listening audience?
Certainly. Well, this isn't really a ghost story.
Ladies and gentlemen,
story.
I should read you a wire
no.
addressed to
it's,
Professor Pearson.
It's an actual
Dr.
experience.
Gray, the Natural History Museum.
They
York.
All start out that way.
9:15 p.m.
A friend of mine by the name of Joe Franklin purchased an 8-room house in Hoosick Falls, which is a small town in upper New York.
A radius of 20 miles of Princeton.
How far is what?
Please investigate.
Hoosick Falls.
Signed Lloyd Gray, Chief of Astronomical Division.
Well, from where?
Oh.
Professor Pearson, would this appearance possibly have something to do with the disturbances observed on the planet Mars?
Hardly, Mr. Pearson.
Thank you,
Edgar. Size
I still don't think it's the right answer.
Well,
now,
anyway, my friend, he bought this old
thank
house.
You,
how many rooms did you say it had, Edgar?
8 rooms.
How
we've
charming, 8 rooms?
Observatory at Princeton.
Two-story?
No, it's
bringing
a ghost story.
Bringing you a special
story.
Interview with Professor Pearson.
As a matter of fact, Dorothy, it was a two-story house.
Phillips speaking.
But the upstairs quarters
we are
were never
you now
used
to our
because there was a rumor that they were haunted.
They were what?
I see. They were inhabited by ghosts.
Well, didn't Joe Husick know that before he bought the place?
The name is Joe Franklin, and the house is in Husick Falls.
Oh, I see. Well, you want to Canada. Watch that, Edgar.
Professor Morris. Say, Ed, did Joe Falls know that Husick was on?
Don, the name is Franklin, and the house is in Husick Falls. It was an 8-story, 2-room house. What I mean is...
We got him, boys. We
an 8-story, 2-room house. Huh?
What he means is an 8-house, 2-story room. No.
Did anybody live in it?
Yeah, Husick lived downstairs. And he raised goats upstairs.
Now, wait a minute. Who lived in what?
Mr. Poughkeepsie. Lived in Schenectady. I don't know what he is.
Well, I don't think you people want to hear this story at all. Of course, if you don't, we'll just say so.
Now, begging, don't be sensitive now.
They at least give me the
curse. Of course, we want to hear the story, don't we, Don?
Why, sure we do. Have you heard it before? Charlie?
Yeah, I hear it every Halloween. He does so. He brings it out. Yeah.
Is it a good story?
But let's egg him out.
Oh, come on, Edgar. Tell us the rest of the story. What was your friend's name?
Oh, well, let's forget his name, and let's forget he's my friend.
Oh, forgetting friends, huh? What's the matter? Did he write for money?
No. He did not write for money.
You
now understand?
To Grover's Mill,
no, he
New
didn't.
Jersey.
Oh. Is him sore, Bergen?
No.
Oh, come on, Edgar. We'll behave. Tell us.
Very well. I shall make a final attempt, but I insist on absolute silence. And stop whispering, please.
Well, I hardly know where to begin.
Is it all right if I breathe a little?
Oh, dear. Now, this is a true story. But if at any time you question the veracity of my statements, stop me.
We sure will.
This incident took place about 8 years ago, at which time I was considered quite a handsome young man.
Stop! All right. You can't sell us on that.
All right. Charlie, if you'll only keep quiet, you'll find that this story is very, very gripping.
Griping is the word.
About 30 yards. Now, you keep quiet, Charlie. We want to hear this story.
Well, thank you, Don.
Okay, Edgar.
Poor you. All right.
Two-faced. All right, now, where was I?
You're right here.
Yes,
Would you mind standing one side, please?
Picture, if you can, an old house with a foundation settling, sagging roof, peeling wallpaper. Can you picture it?
Picture it?
We live in it. In this house, there formerly lived an old miser. Of course, you know what a miser is.
Oh, sure. A miser is a man who thinks 75 cents a year.
No, you don't. That
burns him up.
Yes, Mr. Wilmot.
Now, this miser had lived and died in one of the upstairs bedrooms. And it was believed that his ghost haunted it.
Then you the pot thickens.
Not first off.
And you know, Charlie,
and what did you
I was the first person brave enough to spend the night in that bedroom.
Oh, sure.
Kind of like 4th of July rocket.
Nothing happened until midnight. Nothing ever does. And then, out of the still of the night, I heard the old grandfather's clock in the hall strike the witching hour.
Well, are you frightened, Mr. Wilmot?
Don, will you please stop?
Sure.
When you hear the next cuckoo, it'll be exactly Bergen.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Wilmot. Thank
all right, enough
much.
Of that.
Fellas, will you stop interrupting?
You've just heard me.
You're being very rude.
Why not keep quiet?
You're very unfunny. And the least you can do.
All right. Will you stop too, Charlie?
Oh, me?
Yes. You're the worst one of all. Shortly after midnight, I heard a peculiar noise, as if someone were tapping on the walls.
Oh, cars, right. Headlights, rolling out of the spotlight on the pit.
I thought
the
possibly, no.
Now, some of the more daring are venturing near the edge.
And I heard footsteps on the ceiling. I couldn't figure out what it was.
One man
maybe you had a snoop for him.
I was only trying to help.
Well, please don't. All right.
Perhaps you've caught it already on your
then
radio.
Suddenly, the steps got closer and closer. And then, without warning, a horrible figure pounced upon me. Something tugged at my memory. Where had I seen that ghostly face before?
In a mirror?
No. That settles it.
No, that settles
what? I'm not going to finish this story. Away.
Well, why not?
Well, I'm not going to make a fool of myself.
Professor Pearson.
Oh, I don't know.
Can you tell us the meaning
yes,
of that?
You're right. I have made a fool of myself.
Well, it certainly took you long enough to get wise. I think you
extraterrestrial.
A few years ago, a song about a couple of people who were very, very tired swept the country. Remember, let's put out the lights a little bit, please.
Nothing's happening.
Well, now another one has come along, and it looks like just as big a hit. It's by Hoagy Carmichael, and it's called Simply Enough, Two Sleepy People. Dorothy Lamour shows how it goes, and very nicely, too. Dorothy?
Look at you and look at me. Just two words with the song. We should get up and record.
Wait a minute. Someone's calling somewhere. Something I can see. Turning out of that black hole to a luminous disc.
You got a cigarette?
The eyes, like your face.
Oh,
like
honey, no. Heaven. Gee, it's getting kind of cold, too.
Now it's another one. Another one.
Here we are. Holding hands and yawning. Look how late it is. Sleepy people by dawn's early light. When too much in love, say goodnight. Here we are in a cozy chair. Taking on a wishbone from the frigid air. Two sleepy people with nothing to say. And too much in love to break away. Remember the nights we used to linger in the hall. Father didn't like you at all. Do you remember the reason why we married in the fall?
We are bringing you an eyewitness account of what's happening on the wilderness farm in Brookville, New Jersey.
Well, here we are, just about the same. Foggy little fella, drowsy little day.
We now return you to Carl Phillips at Grover's Hill.
By dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight. Don't we look a mess? Lipstick on your car. Me and this old dress. Sleepy people know very well they're too much in love to break the spell. We're crazy in the head. Gosh, your eyes are gold. Even when they're red. Too sleepy people with nothing to say. And too much in love to break away.
He is caught up by the woods of
the night we used to linger in the hall. Father didn't like you at all. Do you remember the reason why we married in the fall? Rent this little nest. Get a bit of bread.
However,
well,
we will return to that point in the earliest opportunity. In the meantime, we have a nice bulletin from San Diego, California. Professor Edward Chalker, speaking at the dinner of the California Astronomical Society, expressed the opinion that the explosions on Mars are undoubtedly nothing more than severe volcanic disturbances on the surface of the planet. Continue now
by dawn's early light.
Gentlemen, I've just been handed a message that came in from Grover's Mill by telephone.
Good night,
honey. Just one moment, please. At least 40 people, including 6 state troopers, lie dead in the fields east of the village of Grover's Mill.
If
you love fun and excitement, you want to hear about Charlie McCarthy's new radio game. Yes, you'll get laughs and thrills by the minute when you play Charlie's new radio game. Many of your friends and neighbors are already enjoying it. Whether you're 9 or 90, it will bring you hours of fun. The game includes 21 lifelike, full-color figures of your Chase and Sanborn radio friends. There are four figures each of Edgar Bergen, Nelson Eddy, Don Amici, Dorsey L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster. But there's only one figure of impudent young Charlie McCarthy. And that's what causes the excitement. The play is controlled by a spinner, and every player tries to get Charlie. And here's how you get Charlie's radio game. Send us two dated bag fronts from Chase and Sanborn. On dated coffee, together with only 10 cents. You're sure to enjoy the fine, mellow flavor of dated coffee.
You have just
for it's not only a superb blend of the world's choice coffees, but it's truly fresh.
In the meantime,
yes,
the
dated coffee is delivered to your grocer by a fresh food delivery service from the oven nearest to his store. The date of delivery is plainly marked on every bag. And that date assures you of fragrant aroma, of rich, satisfying goodness, of freshly roasted coffee. Begin now to enjoy Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Send us two dated bag fronts at only 10 cents, and we'll mail you Charlie's absorbing new game right away. Address Chase and Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue, 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City. Buy Chase and Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
Professor Pearson has been located at a farmhouse near the Golden Mirror, where he has established an emergency observation post. At the time, he will give you his explanation of the calamity. The next voice you hear will be that of Professor Pearson.
Our very finest, grade A, number one quality welcome goes to our special guest, the beauteous star of both the British cinema and the American movie, Madeline Carroll. She has but recently returned from abroad to play the leading role in the Paramount picture, Cafe Society. Miss Carroll appears tonight in a play by one of her distinguished playwriting countrymen, John Van Drugen, play about an English girl and an American boy. Madeline Carroll in
one of a better term, I shall refer to the mysterious weapon of the heat ray. All evidence these creatures have scientific knowledge far in advance of our own.
It has been quite a day in the life of Leonora Perry Carroll. Until the middle of the afternoon, she had been just an ordinary English girl. But then at a party, she met Dwight Houston, an American architect, and her whole life changed. That evening, they went to dinner, the theater, and a nightclub. Much now it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, and Dwight is bringing Leonora to her apartment.
That is my conjecture of the origin of the heat ray.
Well, here we are. Gee, that was a great idea
you
to go to the, what was the name of that place?
Hoban Empire.
That's it.
I've still got that BC old song in my head. I'm alone because I love you.
Now, here's another
love you
from
with
Washington,
all
D.C.
my heart.
The office of the director of the National Red Cross
I
reports
had to
10
be
units
true.
Of Red Cross
sorry,
emergency
sorry, I can't say
the same thing about you. Stationed outside of Grover, New Jersey.
I think it's the silliest song I ever heard.
I'm inclined to agree with you.
Princeton Junction. The fires at Grover's
Mill. I think, would I ever get that tune out of my head?
Well, let's try something else to take the pace away.
I can't think of another song.
Well, in spite of that tune, it's been a grand evening.
I've enjoyed it so much.
Mr. Harry McDonald,
Leonora.
Vice President in charge of operations.
Sybil, do you mind if I don't call you Leonora? It's my sister-in-law's name, and I can't bear my sister-in-law.
What would you like to call me?
In view of the gravity of the situation, believing that radio has a responsibility to serve in the public interest at all times.
Of course, if you feel like that about it.
We are turning over our facilities to the state militia at Trenton.
I think I'm,
we take you now to the field headquarters of the state militia
near
Grover's Mill, New Jersey.
I love you, too. This is ridiculous.
This is Captain of the signal
why?
Car,
we've known each other.
Militia.
What
now
is it, 5 hours?
Well, that's long enough, surely.
To be in love?
Oh, I fell for you the minute I saw you. I was watching you from across the room long before I came and talked to you. Did you know? Now under
complete I knew control. I wanted you to come and talk to me.
Cylindrical object lies in a pit directly below
doing?
Our position. Surrounded on all sides.
I feel we should rush out and do something. Oh, something violent. Knock down a cop or something. It's grand, isn't it?
It is, rather.
It's like spring.
Zowie!
Yeah? I feel a bit lighthearted myself. We'll see each other later. Won't we?
Their heads above the pit.
You'll be in England only 2 weeks,
you see.
Now, let's not talk about that, huh?
No.
Mind over matter. We'll have fun the way we have this evening. Let's see, what should we do tomorrow? Oh, let's go into the country. Can't we,
anyway,
for the day?
I thought you were here on business. Haven't you appointment?
I can make out their cocky uniform.
Well, I'll see more in a week from Thursday, but just for an hour in the morning.
Like
that's
a real
what
war.
It is. Business, business, business all the time.
It's like smoke in the woods watering the Millstone
all
River.
All right, then. We'll take my car. Go down to Sussex.
I've heard of Sussex.
I should think so.
No. Hasn't it got a dialect? That's where they say Dumbledown, isn't it?
No, that's Somerset.
These suburbs.
How do you know about Dumbledown?
Oh, Bea Lilly used to sing a song about it. Should we drink ale? Oh, you don't know how disappointed I was the first time I came over here and found that ale in England was the same as beer in America. I'd always pictured ale as something terribly special, like... sack or me.
Rearing up on a sort of metal framework.
What's a posset? Sounds like an animal.
It's a drink, sort of a nightcap, I think.
Oh, possets. That sounds silly, doesn't it? I tell you what, let's not have them.
Let's not.
All right.
Incredible as it may seem,
I know a little inn where we lunch.
Science and the evidence of our eyes.
Garden.
Oh, that's
leave to the inescapable assumption that
those
strange beings who landed in the Jersey farm last night.
Lazy riser, but I'll make an exception.
The vanguard of an invading army.
You think I ought to go now?
I think you ought.
I never shall.
The battle which took
me
place
out.
Tonight at Grover Mills has ended in one of the most startling
right.
defeats ever suffered by an army in modern
funny,
times.
Funny, Steve.
7,000 men armed with rifles and machine guns pitted against a single fighting machine
Steve,
of the invaders.
Would you consider marrying me?
120 known survivors.
What?
The rest strewn over the battle area from Grover's Mill to Plainsboro.
Well, why not? Do you have to have an act of parliament?
No.
Wouldn't you?
Or burn to cinders.
I'll do, Steve, please. It isn't much to ask.
The monster is now in control of the middle section
crazy.
Of New Jersey and has effectively...
Oh, I want to. This is terribly.
Communication lines are
just
down
so as not to lose you.
To
but I've got some sense.
Well, what's sense got to do with it?
Everything. Look at it sensibly. I've only known you 5 hours. Can't get married like this. I don't know a thing about you
north,
except
south, and west
that you're fun and that I like you.
Oh, I should have done those reasons enough.
No, but be sensible.
Oh, how can I?
By morning, the fugitives will have swelled Philadelphia.
I tell you, I'm crazy watching. Does Willie make a go of it?
Their normal
I don't know. Just imagine the scene with mother and father.
New Jersey and eastern Pennsylvania.
Mother, I've got something to tell you.
At this time, we take
yes,
you to
dear, what is it?
A special broadcast.
I'm going to be married. Oh, really, dear? Who to? Anyone we know? No. Dwight Houston.
Citizens
and who
nation,
may Dwight Houston be? That's far.
I shall not try to
he's an American.
Gravity
an American? And how long have you known him? Oh, about
no,
5 hours. I can't even imagine the reply to that.
Oh, well, that's easy. But, Mother, I'm in love with him.
Oh, but this is absurd of us. I don't know you. I don't know the first thing about you.
And public
we
officials.
Can't be in love with each other.
Well, don't let's bother too much for us, shall we? We seem to like each other anyway. Besides, there's always Juliet.
Fortunately,
well, she and Romeo did it in 5 speeches.
I always said that was an improbable play.
If I profane with my unworthiest hand...
And we may place our
what's the rest of it?
In
the
military forces. We've got it in the bookcase somewhere.
Yeah.
In the meantime...
Yeah, it is.
Placing our faith in God.
No.
Yeah,
I got it right here. If I profane with my unworthiest hand this holy shrine, the gentle fine is this.
So that we may confront...
My lips.
This destructive adversary with a nation united,
ready stand,
courageous, and consecrated to the preservation of
kiss.
Human supremacy on this earth.
He's a fresh guy, that Romeo.
I thank you.
Well, good Pilgrim, Secretary of the Interior speaking.
Good Pilgrim. You do wrong your hand too much,
piling up in the studio
which
here.
Mannerly devotion shows
we're informed
it is.
That the central portion of New Jersey
the
is blacked out
have
from radio communication due to the effect
to
of the heat ray upon power lines and electrical
palm
equipment.
Palm to palm is holy
a
palm
bullet in New York. Cables have been received from English, French, and German
well,
scientists.
We're hardly Romeo and Juliet, are we?
Astronomers report
well,
continuous
nice
gas outbursts
at
regular
intervals.
Oh, we've got a million precedents.
The majority voiced the opinion that the enemy will be reinforced by additional rocket
we live and learn.
There have been several attempts made to locate
will
Professor
you give
Pearson
me
of Princeton,
one concession to
who
has
observed
Martians
at close range.
What's that?
It is feared he was lost in the recent battle.
And don't make me give you an answer until tomorrow morning.
Scouting planes report 3
all
Martian
right.
machines
I'll
visible
go.
Above treetops.
But
moving north towards Somerville with population
yes.
fleeing ahead of them.
I promise.
The heat ray is not in use, although advancing
Kiddies.
At express train speed, invaders pick their way carefully.
Good night.
They seem to be making
this
a conscious effort to avoid destruction at cities.
Summer's ripening breath.
However, they stop to uproot power lines, bridges,
railroads. I don't want to take it like that.
Their apparent objective is to crush resistance.
Like a
song? Paralyzed communication and disorder.
I'm alone because I love you.
Here is a
bolt
from Baskin Ridge.
Love you with all my heart.
Moonhunter has stumbled on a second cylinder, similar to the first. embedded in the great swamp 20 miles south of Morristown.
Good night.
Army field pieces are proceeding before the cylinder can be opened and the fighting machine rigged. They are taking up a position in the foothills of Watchung Mountains.
I have no joy in this contract tonight.
Scouting planes report enemy machines down three in number, increasing speed northward, kicking over houses and trees in their evident haste to form a conjunction with their allies south of Marstown.
I'm alone because I love you with all my heart.
A fleet of army bombers carrying heavy explosives flying north in pursuit of enemy. Scouting planes act as guides. They keep the speeding enemy in sight.
Oh, Dwight.
Just a moment,
I don't know what to do. I love you so.
We've run special wires.
I'm alone.
Located in the Western Mountains.
Fire. This is Don Amici, and the Chase and Sanborn Hour continues.
31 meters.
Hidden in the scores of many almost forgotten operas
Chasing
are a great many
degrees.
Beautiful arias. 37
degrees.
One of these operas is Massenet's Leroy de Lor, from which Nelson Petty sings. Master de Mor Avenir. How did I do, Nelson?
Well, you were warm.
Well, since you're going to sing it, I think you better say it.
All right. From Massenet's Le Roi de Lahore, the aria from Master de Mor Avenir.
Lovely. Thank you, and Nelson Eddy sings it.
Notre puissance est roi de table encore.
24 meters.
Comme si les chassaient une invisible main, elles ont du désert gagné le chemin. C'est mon nom qui l'acclame. Le calme est rentré dans mon âme. Et je puis être.
Army bombing plane, B-843 off Bayonne, New Jersey. Lieutenant Polk, commanding 8 bombers, reporting to Commander Fairfax Langham Field. This is Polk reporting to Commander Fairfax Langham Field. Enemy tripod machines now in sight. Reinforced by 3 machines from the Morristown cylinder. 6 altogether.
One machine
partially crippled. Believed hit by shell from Army gun in Watchung Mountains.
Fence
now appears silent. A heavy black fog hanging close to the earth of extreme density, nature unknown. No sign of
defrag.
Enemy now turns east, crossing the same river into the Jersey marshes. Another stand on the Pulaski Skyway. Evident objective is New York City. Pushing down a high-tension power station. Close together now, we're ready to attack. Planes circling, ready to strike. A 1,000 yards, it will be over the first. Left, drop on the plane and all. We're diving on the first one.
Has both rhyme and reason. I didn't know you had it in you.
Yep, and I'm sure glad you got it out of her, too.
Rah-rah, sister,
that'll do, Annie. You know, Mr. Meachie, ever since we seen that there football game yesterday, Annie's been sort of what you might call cheer happy.
Oh, you took in a football game, huh, Judy? Oh, I bet you had a good time out there, huh?
I had a good fight.
A
ringing,
warning the people to evacuate the city as...
Yes, sir? We no more to sat down when a fella passed me an
estimated
insult
in the last
and
Zeke
up and bashed him
million
one.
People have well, I don't blame him. If anybody insulted you with me around, I'd bash him one myself.
Would you?
Hutchison River. Well, I certainly would. Kept open
anybody
for
want
traffic.
To try him out?
Boy, Bridges is Long Island. Never mind that. Never mind that. Zeke, what did the fella say about Judy that got your dander up?
Ain't Jersey nobody calling my sister a hog.
10 minutes ago. Somebody called you a hog, no Judy? Oh, he didn't.
Oh, he did.
Our
soon as I sat down, that fella turned to me and said,
artillery,
who you rooting for?
Air Force. Everything wiped out. Maybe the... Well, who were you rooting for? I mean, which team were you for? Stay here to the end.
Well... I wasn't for nobody, and
people
I wasn't again nobody.
Here
see, I just wanted to see them bust
cathedral.
Each other around.
Oh, the weaker sex, huh? Right, were you sitting there not to see them get busted?
Well, I tell you, I and Annie were satisfied, but Dee kept on complaining that the players was getting smaller and smaller all the time till he could hardly see them.
Well, maybe he was sitting up too high. Didn't you bring glasses along, Zeke?
No, I just drunk it out of the jug.
Wait a minute. The enemy's now in sight of the conversation. Well, I still say it was too high. Did you like the game, Zeke?
What a saw of it.
First one I liked it, too.
Crossing the river.
Oh, why don't you get with it, Annie?
Waiting,
you didn't even pay no attention
the
to the game
like
after some fella said this how you was a beauty.
Annie found an admirer. Oh, I knew there must be. She must be somebody's type.
You did. Well, I'm telling you, Mr. Meachie, that fella what was selling them sandwiches walked right by all them movie stars without giving them a tumble. But when he come by us, he looked straight at Annie and he yelled, "Hunt dog!"
The first machine reaches the shore.
He spoke to me, too.
Oh, that's wonderful, Annie. What did he say?
How many?
That's enough, Annie. Sit there quiet and count your buttons.
Rise like a line
I
of
saw you at
the
game, Judy. I waved to you, but I couldn't get your eye.
Lardy, Mr. Morgan, I was too busy watching that feller in front of
the
grandstand that was tucked with them galloping
smoke
jitters.
Comes out, black
jitters?
Smoke.
Oh, why, Judy, that was a cheerleader.
Well,
people
I guess I should know
now.
That. Zeke acts the same way when he's full of cheer.
Dropping in like
no, that leader sure made them little bunch of fellas yell so you can hear them all
square.
Over the field.
Oh, well, most of the stadiums nowadays are very good acoustics.
No use. Mr. Amici, you say
like
the craziest cries. Words. Hey, Zeke, come here, son. What in the world's
now
acoustics?
Acoustics is what you shoot pool with.
Sixth Avenue. 100 yards away.
There you are, Mr. Amici. That boy is going to be a great wit someday.
Why not? He's halfway there already.
You said that right. Well, anyhow, he's happy.
You could always certainly had your troubles. You were insulted, Zeke had eye trouble, and Annie found romance with mustard and relish. Did you by any chance see a football game?
You can't prove it by me. They sure do a lot of nothing before anybody footballs. Well, first thing that catched my eyes was them boys on the field all a-getting in a circle with their heads together and their arms around each other. Real romantic-like.
Oh, why, Judy, that's the huddle. I can see you got a lot to learn about football.
You reckon you could teach me to huddle?
What I mean is you should go with somebody who knows what it's all about.
Oh, you think I'm harder, huh?
Well, sure.
Well, I ain't busy tomorrow night.
Yeah, but there isn't any football game tomorrow night.
I know it. I ain't no fool.
Oh, now look, Judy, couldn't we sort of... Hey, Zeke, put down that gun.
Tain't loaded,
huh? Judy, will you do me a favor? Get somebody else to teach you the game of football. It's so dangerous, and I'm so young.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting
System. Mr. Amici, Zeke was only fooling.
That's kind of carrying a joke too close.
Well, matter in fact, if I want to learn about football, I can learn all about it from my own family.
Well, that's fine. I didn't know they played football down in Unadilla.
Play football? Why, Mr. Amici, you know them school kids down home never geared to arithmetic. They call it signal practice.
Did Zeke ever play football, Judy?
Football. Ha!
He was probably All-American.
He's better than that.
All-Unadilla. All-Unadilla? What do you think of that?
I was a triple threat man.
Triple threat, huh?
Yeah,
hiding
kick,
in this empty
bite,
house near
choke.
Grover's Mill. All island
Boy,
daylight.
Boy, Zeke, is that tough. I'm surprised some college didn't buy him a pair of shoes and put him on their football team.
All that happened before the arrival of these...
That's how he got the offer to play for USC.
Zeke really got an offer to play at USC?
Life has no continuity in the present.
Unadilla School of Carpology.
Furtive existence, the lonely derelict.
Oh, curiosity.
Pencils these words on the back of some astronomical notes.
And
Craig
Furman in his spare time under a different name.
Oh, incognito, huh?
No, Sir Kelly was the name of you.
Blackened hand.
We had a swell alma mater song, too.
I had a connection with a professor who lived at Princeton.
What was the name of
it? The night of October 20th.
Just, I forget.
Glyphs, you know, Judy?
A telescope, an orange splash of light on a distant planet.
Well, let's see now. Unadilla School of Carpology. What kind of a theme song would they have?
My colleagues, my
students. Oh, I bet it was Flatfoot Floozy, huh?
Nope, that ain't it.
Observatory?
Well, maybe it was Fall in Love. Fall in Love says my arch.
No. Zeke, was it my sweet little callous blue gown?
No.
Or, the last toes of summer?
Well, it could have been the folks who live on the heel.
Nope, it weren't none of them.
What day is it?
Well, how about Whistler and his dog?
2 days exist.
Or it's a shame to tell a lie.
Stand back, y'all.
It's time passed when there are no human hands left to wind the clock.
What? Ankles away.
That's it.
Writing down
Judy,
my daily
I'm certainly
life,
glad
myself,
that you settled the title of the theme song of the Unadilla School of Chiropody so that we can all listen to you, Annie and Zeke, sing Hounds on My Tracks.
Right, and live. Find molded bread in the kitchen.
Hounds on my track. Chickens on my back. Gonna make it to my shanty if I can.
Marching above the black smoke.
Gonna make it to my shanty if I can.
The smoke still holds the house in its black coil.
Well, hold that fence. My dog ain't got no sense.
Gonna make it to my shanty if I can.
Mounted on its
if I can.
Spraying the air with a jet of steam as
it dissipates
smoke.
Gonna make it to my shanty if I can.
In the corner, its huge metal legs nearly brush against the house. Exhausted by terror, I fall asleep.
Miss
reason I feel safer trailing these
men. And
I keep a careful watch.
If I can,
I've seen the mark.
Gonna make it to my shanty if I can.
If one of their machines appear over the top of trees, I'm ready to fling myself flat on the earth.
Gonna make it to my shanty if I can.
Come to a chest.
If I can,
yodely lonely.
If I can,
yodely lonely.
Gonna make it to my shanty if I can.
2 days I wandered in the vague northerly direction toward the definite world. Finally, I noticed a living creature. A small red squirrel in a peach tree.
Well, Charlie, here's the happy reunion. Since you last talked to your friend Madeline Carroll, she's been over to Paris and back again.
Oh, we're I believe at that moment the animal and I shared the same emotion.
Joy of finding another living being.
C'était très magnifique. Oh, très
good.
Bouchon
Noir,
thanks. Did you
miss me? Dead cows in a brackish field beyond the charred ruins of a dairy.
And just to prove it, I brought you a present from Paris.
Standing guard over the wasteland
like a present
lighthouse.
For me? Yes. Oh, you shouldn't have. What is it?
Drive the silo, purchase a weathercock, the arrow.
Well, now let me see.
Points north.
It isn't the Eiffel Tower. No. A scooter, perhaps?
Next day, I come
Charlie,
to the city.
No, Charlie, it's better than that. Oh, it's
city.
A letter.
Vaguely
a
familiar letter. In its contours, yet its building strangely dwarfed and leveled off.
Charlie, dear, this is a very unusual letter.
Then
it has a check in it.
No. It's the
but it was written by a little French admirer of yours.
Oh, who is she?
Undemolished,
it isn't a she,
but
it's a
humbled
boy.
By some whim of the advancing Martians.
Disappointment number two.
Little,
this is getting worse all
watched,
the time.
I caught sight of something.
His name
crouching
is Toutou
in the doorway
Gaston Petitjean.
That does it. That does it.
Rose up and became
that's
a...
That's Toutou much, much for me. Who is he?
Well, he's a little
man
assistant.
Armed with a large
on
knife.
The knee of the
Stop.
Great French ventriloquist, the great Pierre.
Oh, gee, that's great.
And just like you, he's a little mannequin.
Many places.
Today, I am a mannequin.
A long time ago.
You should see this boy, Charlie. He's the idol of the Parisians.
Yes.
The ladies all adore him.
That's so.
Who is Mel?
In fact, he's the toast of France.
Oh, isn't that good? My. How old is
There's
this
no
little
food
French
here.
Toaster? I mean,
this is not. We're all the same time. There's only food for
Well, I'd say he's about your
you
age,
going?
Charlie.
Oh, yes.
And he's
I don't
very
know.
Eager to learn the American language.
Uh-huh.
So
I
he
guess
wrote
I'm
to you in English, and he's hoping that you'll answer.
The people.
Would you like to hear what he wrote, Charlie?
Well,
we hear something just then?
No.
Oh, but it's a very charming letter.
Oh, then read it.
Let me read it. Yes. He starts off by saying, yes. Dear
Charlotte. Yes, to know the birds have shadows these
my
days.
My petit shoe.
Petit shoe?
We're in the open here.
Does he mean I'm a heel or something?
Oh,
no, Charlie. Petit shoe is French
have you
for
seen
cabbage
any
hair.
Martians?
Oh, well, that's cabbage hair.
That's worse yet. Why, the fresh punk. What?
Nice. No, guys
Charlie.
Alive.
In French, cabbage head is a term
living.
Of endearment.
Cabbage head is? Well, it doesn't translate very well, I'll say that, Mark.
And then he writes, every week I listen to hear you on the air over the TSF.
I think they're learning how to fly.
The TSF? Oh, the little fly means NBC, doesn't it?
No, Charlie, dear, you see, there's no point radio over there. They call it TSF, which stands for Telephone Sans Fil. Telephone Without Wires.
Sure, I'll bet you. Telephone Without Wires. I don't think it'll ever be practical.
Let me read you the rest.
I've only
of
lost one machine.
Oh, do, yes.
There is one. We're done.
I try to obtain your program every Monday.
Where were you? You're in a uniform.
But I am not very successful.
Oh, that's too bad, isn't it? That is too bad, yes. I wonder if you ever tried tuning in on Sunday night. The dope cabbage
head.
That's the part
that learns me. But, Charlie, don't you realize that the clocks are 5 hours faster in Paris than here?
Right now, we're caught as we want.
But can't they slow them down?
I am glad you are very popular in America, yes?
And losing our heads and rushing off the crowd.
And maybe sometime you will come to CI in Paris, no?
Yes, rushing around blind, we got to fix ourselves up sure according to the way things are now. Cities, nations, civilization, progress.
But if that's so.
Yes, no?
Oh, no, I'm very cute.
Well, there won't be any
and
more
Charlie, he signs his letter. Your petite Parisian pal, Toutou Gaston
Petitjean. It's amusement you're after, I guess, the game's up.
Toutou Gaston Petitjean.
Life, that's
he must get awful tired
looking
that handle around. Cabbage head. That's
we're
the
not
one
going
that
to be exterminated.
I got it.
I don't
mean take a letter. Oh, take a letter.
Tame, fattened, bred like an ox.
Monsieur Petitjean. Got that?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Dear Gopher Puss.
What's going on? Right on
Gopher
We don't know enough.
Yes, yes.
We got to learn plenty before we got a chance.
In America, that's the term.
We've
got to
live and keep free what we learn, see?
Well, I never heard of that,
see?
Charlie.
Well, I never heard of cabbage head. Go for stage.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Don't let it happen too often.
That's why I watched.
And to continue, court. Have you got that?
Yes.
Well, those little office
I never hear your program in America with or without wires, Sansfoni.
Right. Run off the
But I will forgive you for that cabbage head track if, when I get to Paris, you will Sergei Lafemme for me, and I will do the same for you in America.
America. Sure.
A little
investment.
You're American. Army, Charlie, Orgy. I'll mail that as it is.
Very good, sir. And I'm sure Tutu will be most pleased when he receives this letter.
Nice
I thought it was rather well put myself.
Ooh, careful breeding. No
what
worries.
What kind of a boss does Tutu have?
After a week or so.
Oh, he's very handsome, debonair, and he has a moustache.
Oh, he has. Oh, yes.
Thought it all out, haven't you?
Maybe Bergen could raise a moustache, huh? Well, I don't know. It might be too much of a strain on his system.
You think he'd look better with a moustache, Charlie?
Well, it would help his. You couldn't see his lips move while I was talking.
You shouldn't say that. You know, little Tutu always speaks well of his boss.
Well, maybe he gets paid more than I do.
Well, he told me that his salary is 1,500 centimes a week.
Yeah, well, that
1,500
centimes. Wow.
Where are we to live when the Martians own the earth?
I could kick myself for what I'm working for. I could kick Bergen, too. 1,500 centimes.
And then the earth are miles and miles of them.
Is he
sucking
it away?
They're big enough for anybody.
Or has he got a big family?
I don't know about that, but I do know that that's his salary.
Gee, 15. I wonder if Bergen's... Hey, Bergen, did you hear that?
What's that, Charlie?
Miss Carroll was just telling me about a ventriloquist over in Paris who pays his boy $1,500 a week. Now think of that.
Yeah.
It's enough to make it fall off.
Yeah. Men like you, come
in. Jump on it.
Great museums.
1,500 a week.
Even spy on the
march. Oh, 1,500 a week.
Why,
I can't believe that.
Well, Miss Carroll, just tell me about this ventral. Go on, tell him about it.
Their own fighting machine. Right and left. Not a Martian in them. Not a Martian in them.
Oh, 1,500 centimes.
Yeah, centimes.
Yeah, well, centimes is... That's French for a...
Imagine having one of them lovely things with a teeth wide and thin.
You
turn it on Martians. You turn it on men.
It's 100 centimes.
We bring everybody down on their knees.
With mustard?
That's your plan.
Why, a centime? Why, that's less. Why, it's much less than a cent.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Less than a cent?
Why, of course it is.
Is there anything less than a penny?
Of course there is.
Well, how come you haven't paid me off in it?
That's your world. Bye, stranger. Well, after crawling with the artillery, I came at last to Holland Tunnel.
John McCarthy's radio game is the new sensation from coast to coast.
To know the fate.
Here's
the
latest news
on the other side of the Hudson.
Everybody's playing Charlie's new radio game.
The tunnel,
yes, sir. Small fry, big fry, from 6 to 60.
That's right, Charlie.
It's
packed with suspense and thrill.
Black powder, several bodies, and an evil.
You get 21 figures of the stars of this program, and they're all in beautiful, natural color.
Yeah, Bergen's unusual pale pink.
Wandered up through the 30s.
Charlie, please. There are four figures each of Edgar Bergen, Nelson Eddy, Don Ameche, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster.
What's that of a lean dog running down 7th Avenue?
They're so far mildly interesting.
Oh, but there's just one figure of Charlie McCarthy.
Sensational.
Made a wide
and you must have Charlie to win.
Well, naturally. How else, pray tell?
Don't get Charlie's absorbing new game. Just mail us two dated bag fronts from Jason Sanborn dated coffee and only 10 cents. And if you like coffee with plenty of rich, bracing flavor... You'll enjoy dated coffee.
Theater.
For this is more than a fine blend of the world's choice coffees. It's coffee you know
is shooting gallery where
the date on the bag front tells you when your grocery received it, fresh from the nearest
ducks.
Roasting oven.
Near Columbus.
Try a delicious Chase and Sanborn dated coffee.
Notice models of 1939 motor cars front
with only 10 cents, and we'll promptly send you Charlie's new radio game.
Yes, sir, the game's on me.
Address... Chase and Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue.
Suddenly I caught sight of the hood of a Martian machine.
Lexington
Avenue. Standing somewhere in Central Park, gleaming in the late afternoon sun.
Same
idea.
Oh, Charlie.
I rushed recklessly across Columbus Circle and into the park. I climbed a small hill above the
farm. Yes, really. 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City.
Standing in a silent row along the mall, 19 of those great metal titans, their howls ended as Elon, hanging listlessly by their sides.
October soon fades into November, and Nelson Eddy bids his farewell with a drinking song from Robin Hood. Brown October is.
Suddenly my eyes were attracted to the immense flock of black birds hovered directly below me. They circled the ground. There before my eyes, dark and silent, lay the Martians with the hungry birds pecking and tearing brown threads. Later, when their bodies were examined in laboratories and found that they were killed by the putrefactive and disease bacteria against which their systems were unprepared, brain after all man's defenses had failed. Before the cylinder fell, there was general persuasion that no life existed beyond the petty surface of our minute sphere. Now we see further. Dim and wonderful vision I conjured up in my mind as life spreading slowly from the little seedbed of the solar system throughout the inanimate vastness of the sidereal space. Maybe that the destruction of the Martians is only a reprieve for them and not for us. But we are dangerous. A stranger now seems to sit in my peaceful study, writing down this last chapter of the record. Gun at the deserted farm.
And it's will you love me true? If not, I'll drink
one. Strange to see young people strolling on the green where the new spring grass yields the last black stars. Strange to watch the sightseers enter the museum where the dissembled parts of a Martian machine are kept in public view. Strange when I recall the time of the thoughts. Bright, clean cut, hard, silent. And the door to make you stop and hail. Through my days I'll sing the praise of love that falls over you. Yes,
this is Orson Welles, ladies and gentlemen. Out of character, to assure you that the War of the Worlds has no further significance than as the holiday offering it was intended to be. Mercury Theater's own radio version of dressing up in a sheet and jumping out of a bush and saying, "Boo." Starting now, we couldn't open all your windows and seal all your garden gates by tomorrow night, so we did the best of the thing. We annihilated the world before your very ears. Destroyed the CBS. You'll be relieved, I hope, to learn that we didn't mean it. But both institutions are still open for business. So goodbye, everybody, and remember, please, for the next day or so, the terrible lesson you learned tonight.
Here we
that
are once more at the end of another Jason Sanborn
globular
hour. An hour made possible
your
by your purchase of Jason Sanborn coffee.
Patch, and if your that's doorbell rings, and nobody's there.
We'll all be back
with
next
no
Sunday.
Martian.
Nelson Eddy, Edward Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy Lamour, Judy Canova, with Annie and Zeke, Robert Armbruster, with the Jason Sanborn Orchestra.
Tonight, the Columbia
and our special
Broadcasting
guest,
System,
star of
You
Can't Take It With You, Gene Autry. Until then, this is yours sincerely, Donovan.
The 17th in a weekly series of dramatic broadcasts featuring Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on
be
the
with
air.
Us again next Sunday
next
for another big Jason Sanborn hour. Gene Autry, Donovan, Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, George Lamour, Judy Canova, with Annie and Zeke, and Robert R. Brewster, and the Jason Sanborn Orchestra. Heard on this program were a few sleepy people from Thanks for the Memory and The Big Show by Jerome Curtin. This is Wendell Niles speaking for